This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City Church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
The Father to you with love. From the Father to you with love. Hallelujah. 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 How many of us know that our Heavenly Father is truly a loving and a caring Father? How many people agree? He's a loving and a caring Father. And He demonstrated His love to us by giving His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. In John chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus. Hallelujah. He loved us so much that He released His Son to us to come to the face of this earth to reconcile us to Him. Because we were far away from Him, He sent His Son to bridge that gap and bring us back to Him. And that shows how loving and caring our God is. But He didn't just stop there. He didn't stop there. When the time came for Jesus to return to heaven, He did not leave us, His children. He did not leave His covenant children as orphans. He did not leave His children comfortless and without help. Hallelujah. And that's what a good father does. Hallelujah. But He sent the Holy Spirit to us. He sent the Holy Spirit. Jesus had come. Jesus had done His work. It was now time for Jesus to go back. Hallelujah. And the Father released the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit to us. He knew that with Jesus no longer being here on earth, it would be impossible for us as sons and daughters to live the life that He wanted us to live. We couldn't do it. We couldn't do it. Hallelujah. You remember the disciples had the Lord Jesus Christ with them all that time. The Lord Jesus Christ was there with them. So they didn't need the Holy Spirit. But as soon as the Lord Jesus Christ had to leave, we needed someone who will come alongside us and help us to live the life that God wants us to live. And that's the person of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So He gave us the Holy Spirit. He did what was best for us in giving us the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we think that we know what is best for us. But, you know, I want to submit to you that God actually is the one that knows what is best for us. Hallelujah. Are you in agreement with me? God is the one who knows the best for us. And in knowing what is the best for us, He gave us the Holy Spirit. Say to the person beside you, the Holy Spirit is who you need. Hallelujah. You know, because He knows what is best for us. He knows what we need. And so He released the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit might come alongside us, that the Holy Spirit might help us, that the Holy Spirit might enable us, that the Holy Spirit might comfort us when we need comfort, that the Holy Spirit might counsel us when we need counseling. Hallelujah. Praise be to His name. Hallelujah. So He gave us that which was best for us, the Holy Spirit. As Pastor said last week, and he went through all of this last week, but I'm going to just do a quick recap. The promise of the Father to send the Holy Spirit was first revealed in the Old Testament. We heard that last week in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 to 29. Joel chapter 2, 28 to 29. And it says, and it shall come to pass, it was prophesying through the prophet Joel, it shall come to pass afterward, hallelujah, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. So the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is for each one of us who are sons and daughters, who are believers in Christ Jesus. When we go to the New Testament, we see the Lord Jesus Christ confirming this in John chapter 14, verse 16 to 17. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are not even in Africa, and we're beginning to need air conditioning. Hallelujah. Bless God. Thank you. Hallelujah. So in the New Testament, in John 14, verse 16 to 17, Jesus confirms this. And he says, and I will pray the Father. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. When I was meditating upon this, I thought, wow. Hallelujah. God knows what is best for us. And so he's giving us the Holy Spirit as a helper that will be with us forever, that will abide with us forever. Hallelujah. It wasn't like in the days of the, you know, in the Old Testament, where the Spirit used to come upon certain chosen people at specific times in their lives. But here, Jesus is confirming, he's saying, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. Hallelujah. In John 15 verse 26 again, Jesus is saying this again. He says, but when the helper comes, that is the Holy Spirit, whom I shall send to you from the Father. Hallelujah. From the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will testify of me. He will speak of me. He will reveal me. Hallelujah. 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 John chapter 16, verse 7 to 11. John 16, 7 to 11. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Hallelujah. And if you go down to verse 13 of that same John 16, verse 13, it says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Hallelujah. So Jesus here speaking about the promise of the Father. Jesus here speaking to his disciples and saying, this is the Holy Spirit. I have to go so that the Holy Spirit will come. And when he comes, this is what he will do. This is how he will help you. This is what he will do in your life. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 5, Acts 1, 4 to 5, we know this scripture. It says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Going on to verse 8. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Hallelujah. So we see the promise of the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And in Acts chapter 2, we then see the fulfillment of this promise. Again, the evidence of God's love for us, his children. Hallelujah. Sometimes, just like children feel that, you know, except God, except their fathers and their mothers are giving them the certain toy and the certain thing that they need for that hour, then their fathers and their mothers don't love them. Hallelujah. But we know, even as earthly parents, that we want to give to our children what is necessary for them, what they really need. Because, you know, they are looking at temporary you know, temporal things, but we are looking at things that are more important and necessary for them. Hallelujah. So the promise of the Father and the fulfillment of the Father's promise in giving the Holy Spirit is evidence yet again of his love for us. And we see that in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It wasn't the phenomena of the fire, you know, on coming upon them that was important. What was important was the being filled with the Holy Spirit, the receiving of the Holy Spirit. That was the most important thing. And we see also, if you go on in Acts chapter 2, you will see here that Peter actually confirms that this is the fulfillment of the Father's promise. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. Hang in there with me. We're going somewhere. Acts 2, 14 to 16. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel," hallelujah, "which we read earlier, that God will pour out a spirit." So Peter was saying here, these people are not drunk. No, that's not the case. This is the fulfillment of God's promise. This is what God has promised. This is what the Father promised, you know, through the prophet Joel that we are seeing manifested today. And when you go on again in Acts, the same Acts 2 verse 33, Acts chapter 2 verse 33, it says here, This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Hallelujah. So Peter was confirming, this is the Holy Spirit that we have been waiting for. This is the enabler. This is the comforter. This is the counselor. This is who we have been waiting for. And I want to say to us today that the gift of the Holy Spirit is available to all who believe in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Everyone, man, woman, young person, hallelujah. The gift of the Holy Spirit is available to you. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38 to 39. Acts chapter 2, 38 to 39. Then Peter said to them, "Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And so when we repent and we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as Lord and Savior, then we qualify to receive the gift of the Father, the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. And we are told here that the promise is to you, is to our children and to all that God will call. God, all that will come even into the kingdom of the Lord, kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In Acts chapter 5, verse 32, Acts 5, 32, it says, "And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When he talks about to those who God, who obey him, he's talking about those who have obeyed the call of salvation. Those who have surrendered to Christ, those who belong to him, the Holy Spirit. So if you're a believer here today, you are in a privileged position because the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you not excited? Are you excited of the fact that the Holy Spirit of God, that God, when Jesus went back to heaven, God did not just leave us as orphans, but the Holy Spirit is within us, living in us, to enable us to walk this walk, to live this life In the face of all that we see around us, even when the world is crumbling, the Holy Spirit dwells in us to empower us and to enable us to live for God. Hallelujah. I am excited about that. Hallelujah. So once we become believers in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us and He takes residence in us immediately. Hallelujah. 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 Immediately, He comes to dwell inside of us. He lives inside of us. You cannot explain it. But the moment you become born again, the moment you truly surrender to Christ, the Holy Spirit resides in you. You become a new creation. Your life is changed. Your mindset is changed. Everything about you is changed because of the power of the Holy Spirit working inside. Hallelujah. And we see that in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. Ephesians 1:13. It says, in Him you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The moment you believed, the moment you became saved, you became sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You became sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Hallelujah. Say to your neighbor, the Holy Spirit is in me. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we want to see some phenomenon. We want to see something, but the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. He dwells inside, He's in us. And here we're being admonished and we're being told, remember, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Whom you have from God. And you are not actually your own. You belong to God. Hallelujah. 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 So God has poured out and is giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And there's several blessings. Hallelujah. That we receive as a result of having the Holy Spirit dwell in us. What are the blessings of the Holy Spirit to us who believe? And I'm going to mention a few of them. There's several blessings that come to us through the person of the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit helps us to be who the Father has called us to be and to do what the Father wants us to do. I want to say to you today, whatever the Father wants you to do and has called you to do, the Holy Spirit is available to you to empower you to be able to do it. Hallelujah. You might not believe that, but the Holy Spirit within you is able to cause you to do what the Father wants you to do. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit is our helper. He helps us to be who the Father has called us to be and to do what the Father wants us to do. Number two, the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus in us. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus real in us. Hallelujah. He testifies of Jesus. Hallelujah. He points out who Jesus really is to us. He shows us who Jesus really is. And also the Holy Spirit, through our lives, reveals Jesus to others, testifies about Jesus to others. We find that in John chapter 15, verse 26. I wouldn't go into it. The Holy Spirit is the one that does this work in us. Number three, the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. You know, every truth that we need to know, the Holy Spirit is able to guide us into it. If we are open, if our hearts are open to the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. If we ask Him, He will guide us into all truth. Hallelujah. So that's another blessing that comes in the name of, in our lives. You know, there's so many things. Sometimes there's so many voices all around us. There's so many voices that we're hearing. Hallelujah. But the Holy Spirit is the only one that can guide us into that which is the truth. Hallelujah. The fourth one is the Holy Spirit is our counselor, providing us with correct counsel at all times. If you want the best counsel, then the Holy Spirit is the one that you go to. And a simple prayer, like saying, Holy Spirit, I need your counsel. Holy Spirit, show me what to do. Holy Spirit, this area, I don't understand what I'm supposed to do. I'm confused in this area. Holy Spirit, guide me, and he will guide you. Hallelujah. He's our counselor, and he provides correct counsel at all times. Number five, the Holy Spirit empowers us to be witnesses. To be witnesses to Christ. To be witnesses with our lifestyles. Hallelujah. To be those that point Jesus to those that do not know him. Hallelujah. So he empowers us to be witnesses. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Every one of us is called to be witness, to be a witness. Every one of us. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And if we connect with the Holy Spirit and submit ourselves to him, he will empower us to be witnesses. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is also the one, number six, that enables us. In Acts 4 verse 8, you see Peter, filled with the Spirit, was able to speak boldly to the rulers of the people and the elders of Israel. So the Holy Spirit enables us in those areas where normally we wouldn't be able to do certain things. The Holy Spirit enables us. As we see here, he enabled Peter to speak boldly to the rulers of the people and the elders of Israel. In Acts 4 verse 31, the Holy Spirit enabled the disciples to speak the word of God with boldness. To speak it with boldness. Hallelujah. When you see a man or, you know, a Christian today that is speaking with boldness, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that they're able to do so. And you are able to do so as well. Hallelujah. Number seven, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. He's the one who comforts us. Who's ever been downcast in this place? Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, the rest of you are super men and super women. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. He comforts us. He comforts us when we are in those, you know, low places. When we need comfort. When we're grieving. Hallelujah. He comforts us. When the issues of life and the weights of this world become so heavy, he's the one that comforts us. Acts chapter 9 verse 31. Number 8, the Holy Spirit guides us. Hallelujah. He guides us. If we allow him, he will guide us. If we don't allow him, he won't force us. He guides us. He's there to guide us. Hallelujah. As we submit to him. We see that in John 16, 13 and in Acts 13 verse 4. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit also speaks to us, number 9, in a way that we can understand, in a way that we can perceive. He speaks to us so that we can hear him clearly. Hallelujah. Number 10, the Holy Spirit reveals things to come or things that are to happen to us. Hallelujah. In John 16 verse 13 and in Acts 20, 22 to 23, we see that. He reveals things to come. And we know that Jesus had already said this, that he would do this in John 16 verse 13. He reveals things to come to us, things that will happen. Hallelujah. Number 11, the Holy Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit in us. And I want us to go to Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 to 23. The Holy Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit in us. Hallelujah. And we want to look at this fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. In Galatians 5 verse 22 to 23. The Holy Spirit is the one that produces in us the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's the Holy Spirit, as we walk with him, that he is able to produce the fruit of the Spirit as we see it here in our lives. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we struggle and we want to do it in our own flesh, but it's the Holy Spirit All he wants is that we cooperate with him. If you don't remember anything today, I want you to remember. Learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Learn to cooperate with him. Hallelujah. If you learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit will be easily manifested in your life and in my life. Because he's the one that produces that fruit as we cooperate with him. Number 12, which is the final one. The Holy Spirit gives to us gifts. He produces the fruit of the Spirit in us. But he also gives us gifts. Hallelujah. So you see why I said at the beginning that the Father gave us what was best for us. And what is best for us is the Holy Spirit. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 11, you will see the fruit, the gifts of the Spirit listed in there. Hallelujah. Including the gift of tongues that was manifested on the day of Pentecost. But it's not just the gift of tongues. Several other gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And the Bible says he distributes it as he wills to each one of us. Hallelujah. So how should we now relate to the Holy Spirit? Okay. I've outlined a number of blessings that comes from the person of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. But how should we relate to him? You know why I'm asking that question? Because he's a person. It's not a thing. Hallelujah. Pastor said that last week. It's not a thing. It's not it. It's not it. Something said to me. It said to me. No. It's a person. It's the third person of the Godhead. And so we have to relate to him as a person. And that's why when I pray, I can say, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, you know, because I am speaking to God, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, that's the first thing. Number one, the Holy Spirit is a person, the third person of the Godhead, so we should relate to him as such. You relate to him as a person. You don't treat him as it or thing. You know, the way that we will treat something is different from the way we will treat a person. How many people agree? If you know, the way I'm going to treat this chair is not the way I'm going to treat Shelly-Ann as a person. Okay? Hallelujah. And so we relate to the Holy Spirit as a person. We recognize him for who he is. A person within the Godhead. The third person of the Godhead. That's the first thing. The second thing. Do not lie to the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 5 verse 1 to 9. I'm going to quickly read it. You see, you can't lie to a chair. But you can lie to a person. How many people agree? Okay, so you don't lie to the Holy Spirit. In Acts 5, there is a story, 5 verse 1 to 9. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Remember, he came to speak to the apostles. And Peter is now saying, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Hallelujah. So one way that we relate to the Holy Spirit is we don't lie to the Holy Spirit. You don't lie to the Holy Spirit. It's God. It's God. Hallelujah. It goes on, it says, then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. So don't lie to the Holy Spirit. Do not test the Holy Spirit. Okay? They tested the Holy Spirit, and it was a wrong thing to do. Number three, do not grieve the Holy Spirit with your lifestyle, with sin. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Yeah, okay, I can grieve a person. I can't grieve, you know, a chair. I keep using the chair as the example, okay? But you can grieve the Holy Spirit. And he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Think about that. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In our relating with the Holy Spirit, we must not grieve him. How can you grieve the one that is there to help you, to comfort you, to counsel you, to guide you, to be with you? Do you understand? It's like, you know, God has blessed you, has given you the Holy Spirit to help you. So why grieve him? Because you wouldn't be doing good for yourself if you do that. Number four, do not quench the Holy Spirit, but always give heed to his still small voice. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 19 says it simply. It says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. What does it mean to quench? To quench means to suppress. It's to suppress the workings of the Holy Spirit in us. And so we're being told here, don't quench, don't suppress the workings of the Holy Spirit in you. Give heed to his still small voice. Sometimes, many a times, you know, it's not a loud voice. It's a still small voice. Hallelujah. The sense of warning and restraint that the Spirit gives comes to us in most amazingly gentle ways. The Holy Spirit many times comes in a gentle way. You know, he doesn't lord it over us. He speaks to us, that gentle voice. That gentle voice. And for us, if we suppress the workings of the Holy Spirit, what we are doing is quenching the Spirit. Hallelujah. If you are not sensitive enough to detect his voice, you will quench it and your spiritual life will be impaired. Hallelujah. You won't be able to grow spiritually. Hallelujah. Those who grow spiritually are those who have understood the voice of the Holy Spirit and learned how to listen and to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Whenever the Spirit gives you that sense of restraint, call a halt and make things right. Many a times the Holy Spirit is speaking gently. He's speaking to us. He's speaking. He might say to you, don't make that phone call. It's just a gentle voice. Many a times it's like you can't really hear, but you can, you know, it's that gentle, still voice. He's saying, don't make that phone call. He's saying, don't go to that place. He's saying, be still, stay in the house today. He's saying it. And we need to listen. We need to fine tune our ears to be able to hear what the Spirit is saying. Hallelujah. Or else we will quench and grieve him without knowing it. Hallelujah. We're going to be done very soon. So do not grieve the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Hallelujah. Don't suppress his workings. Don't be your own Lord and Master. Let the Holy Spirit, hallelujah. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is saying, don't take a job. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is saying, go take that job. Let's learn. I really feel very passionate about this. Let's learn to fine-tune our ears to hear the Spirit of God and not hear our own voice. Many times we're hearing our own voice. And you see, the Spirit of God lines up with the Word of God. Hallelujah. So, but many a times we hear our own voice and we rush out and we do things. Sometimes we hear our own voice and we don't do what we are supposed to do. Let's be really careful. Hallelujah. Number five, walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. Galatians 5 verse 16 to 18. Walk in the Spirit. Walk with the Holy Spirit. Walk with him day in, day out. Every day of your life, walk with the Holy Spirit. And when you walk with the Holy Spirit, you will be led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You'll be led by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. In Galatians 5, 16 to 18, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, when we're walking in the Spirit, when we're walking in cooperation with the Holy Spirit, then we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So consciously walk and live. And live by the leading of the Holy Spirit. So when he says, go then, do this, submit to his voice. Do not resist. Do not be stubborn. I'm sorry to say, many of us sometimes are so stubborn and set in our ways. We're set in our ways. And so we don't submit. And the Holy Spirit wants us to submit to his voice. Do not resist. There will always be a battle with the flesh. The flesh will want to override the voice of the Holy Spirit in you. Learn not to give in, but rather grow in giving in to the voice of the Holy Spirit. You see, when you grow in giving in to the voice of the Spirit, the voice of the flesh will grow dimmer and dimmer. The flesh wouldn't have so much power over you. And finally, number 6, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. This means that you live a life full of the Holy Spirit at all times. You see, the only way that you can live a life full of the Holy Spirit is by not quenching him and by not grieving him. Hallelujah. When we don't quench him and we don't grieve him, then we live and we stay connected with him. Then we live a life full of, I actually believe we can live a life full of the Spirit at all times. You know why? Because I've read it in Acts. And the apostles, from the moment that the Holy Spirit came, they lived a life full of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. They lived a life full of the Holy Spirit at all times. We need to, because we need to remember he's our helper, and without him, we can do nothing. We can do nothing. Hallelujah. So Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't fill yourself with wine or any other substance or anything that will contend with the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. Instead, make sure you do not grieve or quench the Holy Spirit, but remain filled with the Holy Spirit at all times. And two keys that can cause us to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit is holiness of living, holiness of lifestyle, and prayer. If you look at Acts 4:31, hallelujah, you will see that the disciples, they prayed. As they prayed, they were filled with the Holy Spirit again. Hallelujah. So those two things, holiness of living and prayer, will help us to be filled continually with the Holy Spirit. And finally, once you have received Jesus into your life, as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is your greatest need for your day-to-day living while here on earth. The Father has given him to you if you're a believer. And I pray today and I ask that let us please cooperate with him so that we will live a life successfully to the glory of God. Our lives will bring him glory every day of our lives. Let's stand to our feet even as we pray.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.wordoflife-lcc.org. And remember, God loves you.